Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julio
and Jojo Rose.
We invite you to enter into ecological equanimity in the unified field of spacious unknowing.
We open and awaken to broaden your access to the soul rhythm in all of us.
We engage in the pilgrimage inward to feel the infinite love that beats in the rhythm of our collective soul.
We will guide you to new horizons and infinite love during our Inquire Within segment
to accept that you create your field.
I create my field.
And together, we create the unified field. Spacious Unknowing Network
with Julio
and Jojo Rose starts now.
Aloha and welcome to Spacious Unknowing Network.
I'm Julio Rose.
And I'm Jojo Rose.
And today we have a special pleasure of Jojo sharing a story about her soul rhythm and the joining of her will to it.
All right. Thank you, Julio. So when I was a child, I grew up in a home where I was loved. Love filled our home. It was the center of our home with my mother, my father, my two older brothers, Jay and Matt, and myself. And so we always played with each other. We were always laughing and enjoying each other. We would go to the beach and have fun in the water. My father was a fish, and he really transcended that to all of us, a love for the water. We would go to a park, and there was a really special park that we would go to. And I remember as an adult, I wanted to find this similar type of equipment, never found it. So it was a big tunnel. And all of us would stand in the tunnel with our feet firmly planted, and we'd reach out to the wall and we'd start moving our hands on the wall, and this tunnel would spin. And so, you know, we were all different sizes and trying to keep up with everybody. And oh, it was so much fun. And we laughed. And I remember, because I was the littlest one, I'd fall down and tumble and I'd try to get back up, and they kept moving. So I was like, okay, I got to try and stand up here and get with them. It was a lot of fun. And so play was really important in our home with each other. We were always encouraged to play. Anytime we went to a playground, my mother and father were right in there with all of us, enjoying each other. My brothers were big with sports, and they played a lot of baseball, and they always included me, and I just had fun. I enjoyed it. So when I was in the first grade, there was a piece of playground equipment that I wasn't so sure about for myself, because I always had my family around, and it was the monkey bars. And I watched other children cross the monkey bars, and I kind of paid attention to the way that they moved on the monkey bars, and they would move their body to move from one rung to the next and make it all the way across. So I could feel this movement in my soul calling me to go ahead and try it. I was a little tenuous, and so it took me a little time, and I finally said, okay, I'm going to go for it. So I climb up the stairs, and I get to the top, and I have to like really stretch for the first rung. And as I'm stretching for the first rung, I thought, you know, I can do this. I'm going to listen to my soul rhythm and just go for it. So I'm holding on to the first rung, reaching with my body, and I thought, okay, here goes. So I took my other hand and I reached for that first. So I have both hands on the first one, and I took my hand again to the next rung, went to take my second hand, and I fell. That didn't stop me. I kept on going. It was like, I'm going to make it all the way across this thing, all the way across the monkey bars, get to the other side. And so every recess, every morning before school, every recess in the day, guess where I was? I was on the monkey bars, making my way across. And so on this one particular day, I would say I was maybe a third to a halfway across, and I fell and my hands were bloody, which can happen when you're working your hands this way, working on your grip and whatnot. And the playground monitor came over to me and she said, "You can't play on the playground anymore. You can't do the monkey bars. Your hands are bleeding. I'm going to have you stop being on the monkey bars until your hands heal." Well, that was a wallop. I was in that moment a little bit devastated. Knew I had to listen. I couldn't go against what she said to me, but I had to be with it all day. And when the day was over with school, I walked home with my brothers. And on this particular day, I ran all the way home. I came through the door and I said, "Mom, I'm going to make it across the monkey bars, but she told me I can't do it anymore. I have to stop and heal my hands. And I got to do this. It's going to kill my spirit if I don't. It's going to kill my spirit. I have to do this. Please."
"What's wrong with your hands?"
They have blood on them.
"Sweetie, this is just little drips of blood. You're fine. You have calluses and you can do this."
"I know. Well, will you go talk to her, please?"
"You bet. We'll go in the morning." "Oh. We will. It'll work."
"All right, thank you.
We'll make it work."
So we did go the next morning.
And I talked with Joan, the monitor of the playground. I knew her from when I had gone to a play where her brother and she were actors. And she had told me after the play that she loved acting and that it was her passion. So I said, "You know, I want JoJo to be able to go on the monkey bar. She's determined to make it across by the end of this week." And she said, "But her hands are bloody. I can't stand it. I can't let her do that." I said, "Well, I'm her mother and I do want her to do it. She is very totally into it. And those are just little tiny drops of blood. There's not anything to worry about. She's fine." And I said, she said, "Oh, I don't, I, she was really having a struggle." And I said, "Joan, do you remember what you told me about acting? If somebody told you you couldn't act for 2 weeks, how would you feel?" And she went, "Oh, you're hitting me right where I live. Okay, I'm with you. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you're talking about my passion. That's what this is. She's the most passionate child I've ever met. She just is in it. Okay, I'm with you. I'll let her go on the monkey bars." So JoJo was already on there while we were talking. And what I noticed when I turned around was that for the first time, she was swinging her body in the way that would give her the rhythm of how to get from one rung to the other. And she had it. Now she had it. She meant it. She had it. So I knew she'd make it by the end of the week. And I got in the car and went back home.
So I kept at it every day. Sure enough, come Friday, guess what I did? I was so excited. I made it across the monkey bars. Again, I ran home. I opened the door and I said, "Mom, guess what? I made it across the monkey bars today, all the way from one side to the other. I'm so happy."
Yes.
"Thank you."
Yes. That would make you happy. And that makes me happy too, because you really did mean it and you did it.
Yes.
You said it and you did it.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Yes. I love your determination. That has been a continuum in your life since your birth. Just that determination is quicksilver. It just moves you. It moves everybody.
And you are so integral to that determination that I have, because you set a tone in our home and you set a tone inside of me that I could listen to my soul rhythm.
Yeah, that's true. Well, early on when you were younger, 2.5, and got a diagnosis that made me exercise with you, and that was for 2.5 years, kneeling at your feet 5 days a week, mm-hmm. from 9 to 10. Mm-hmm. And it really opened an electromagnetic field, because we did it in the same spot in the kitchen every day. And the electromagnetic field caused the whole family to be in this love, mm-hmm. that was so, wow, universal. And each of us had a place where we had community. And you, Jay, Matt, your dad, Benny, and me, we all had a community that was very enriching. And we meditated at home and had that love with each other.
Yes, we did.
So that was caused by us being together in that work. And for me, what I've watched with you is that really you always needed to exercise, whether it was on the monkey bars or later when you taught swimming, and really knew that the children would swim by the end of the time you were teaching them. Mm-hmm. And you can tell of a couple other things, but it was always about exercise.
Yeah.
And that was the most important thing to you, because that was really your soul rhythm set in from what we did together. And your healing was clear and clean when you were 5 years old. So it worked.
Yeah, and you saying that, the tone really was the love that was between us when we were doing the exercises. So I felt deeply loved and cared for. And so when I did the monkey bars, it came, I think, from not only how we were together as a family, mm-hmm. playing at the playground, going to the beach, enjoying each other's company, but it was what you did with me, that we had that deep connection. We were really working together. And then, you know, yes, I did teach swimming, and my thing was I wanted the children to feel safe. Mm-hmm. That was really important. And I wanted them to learn to have fun in the water and not be afraid of it, but learn the skills that would make it easy for them. I also went to elementary schools and preschools, and I wanted the children to feel the love the way I had felt it as a child. And so I saw, I would say, the stress that a lot of children today are under, the anxiety, the depression, all of the different things that we could speak on. And I wanted them to feel that love. And so I went in and I did deep breathing with them and yoga, mm-hmm. and movement and leadership. I wanted them to feel their inner being, and that no matter where they went, no matter what they were faced with, they had tools that they could use. And I'd ask them, where can you use this? Mm-hmm. And they would tell me, and it was all different types of places on the playground. Some children, it helped them to fall asleep at night. Some, it took care of their anxiety.
Breathing.
And I had them breathe deep and did it with them. And then I worked at a gym, and same thing with the adults. A lot of people, when they exercise, they don't breathe, or they breathe incorrectly. And so my big thing was, I want you to understand breath, mm-hmm. and the breath as you're moving, because without that, you're just going through the motions. So you instilled that in me. I understand. I feel like I came in with it, but you being with me this way instilled it in me, mm-hmm. and helped me to be connected to my soul rhythm.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yes. I do too.
Yeah. So my son Jay was he started singing when he was a year old. And when I was pregnant with him, we lived in Boston. And the first time in the theater, there was a huge screen, the bigger than any we had known previously. And there was surround sound. The movie was Ben-Hur. So the kettle drums were very much integral to the music with the movie. And of course, Jay started beating inside, and he beat on the drums the whole time we were there. I don't think I ever saw the movie. I just was laughing from his active musical talents already. So when he was here, of course, he sang and he loved music. And when he was, I guess, six, he and I took piano lessons. I had wanted to play piano all my life. This was the first opportunity I had to take lessons. And my husband had given me a piano, and I love it because when there's a piano in the home, everybody wants to learn to play, and that was a real gift. So I guess it was in June, I had been playing, and so had Jay, and I decided to quit, and he did too. So it was summertime, and we weren't going to do that for a while. And we always did a lot in the summer and took vacations. Mm-hmm. And so in the fall, Jay came to me and said, I want to take piano lessons. Well, I had already been with all of that because I did love piano. I loved to hear it played, and I just enjoyed it so much, even for me, that I didn't want to ever fulfill something I enjoyed that deeply through my child, not any one of them. I wanted their own soul rhythm to be their guide, and that was how I could nurture that within them, and that was my role as mother. And so when he came and said, I want to take piano lessons, I said, no, you can't. He said, why? I said, because I always had to ask you to practice. That means I was wanting you to play piano. You weren't. No. So he came back to me a week later. Mom, can I take piano lessons? No. Well, I'll practice. I know you think that you mean that, but you haven't joined your will to it yet, Jay. So, no. So a month later, he came to me, and it was a week later. And he said, can I take piano lessons? And I said, you come back to me in a month. A month. And so he did. He came back to me in a month, and he said his teacher at school had told him of a piano teacher that was really good. And I said, well, you're ready. Yes, I will call her today. I said, the only caveat here is, I know if I don't practice, I have to quit. That's right. If I have to tell you, you're not in it. So you will have to quit. But I know that won't happen, Jay, because I can feel how deeply you want to do this. And I know you will. So that was, and he did. Oh, he loved Mozart. He loved Mozart. So Mozart had this time, little, very soft and gentle way to play. Jay was a little more robust. A lot more robust. And he would come in from school and play really hard. And then as he got all those ya-ya's out, I noticed he would get softer. So his teacher really made him know that that was not his particular way to play the way Mozart did. But Jay would find every single Mozart piece in the music book and ask her if those were the ones he could play. So he was learning, and he stayed with piano. In fact, Jay is a musician, a songwriter, a lyricist, has had music, gone on tour, and music on TV and films, and now he produces other people's music. So music has been in his life all his life, and it began there. So this is often what happens with children. There's a soul rhythm. And what I did was I wanted to be very attentive to each of my children's soul rhythm. I had no need to make them into clones of me or Benny. And although they love to draw, and their dad was an artist, and he'd sit and they'd all draw together, and they were all very good. Not me. My art is writing. That's all right.
Yes, it is.
So then the same was true of JoJo. Exercise was her soul rhythm, and she carried it into adulthood. And now I will tell you about Matt. Matt loved sports. I had signed them up for baseball, the first one that they offer for baseball when they were young. And he went at it like he was going to be a pro. He just was very intense about his sports. So when he was six, he stood up at the dining room table and announced to us that he was going to be a sportscaster for the NBA, and that he would do that for his life. And he proceeded to go into the bathroom and stand on the toilet seat, because we went to the door to find out what he was doing. Standing on the toilet seat, broadcasting into the fan in the ceiling. That was his mic. He did a whole game. And then came back to the table. And that was him. That was Matt. He meant it. When he was 18, he was doing morning drive on a third-rated Los Angeles radio station. And then he came back to Hawaii and was on TV for sports, and morning drive with Perry and Price in Hawaii. And then he went to... he decided he would be in the NBA before he was 30, and he got a job when he was 28 for the NBA. So his whole life has been sports, and he's still with the NBA at different teams through the years, but he's still there and still loving it. And so he's done TV, radio, all of it. So it's been fun to see that soul rhythm that was theirs from the get-go has remained integral in their lives, all their lives. And I know that's really a true way to understand when parents don't try to make children in their own image. Children have their own purpose for which they came here, and they have a soul rhythm that's inside of them. And to be able to listen and pay attention and notice and understand what is their interest, what is the thread that is showing up every year in their lives. And that is to be nurtured and cared for. And I found out through that happening how valuable that is. So any young mother or father or any kind of parent or caregiver that has children in their life, it's a very important understanding to have. And when they have a soul rhythm, it's easy for them to join their will to it and let it be a lifetime of really happiness for them, because it's their own heartbeat, it's their own purpose for being here, and it makes a huge difference in their lives.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It really, really does.
And then came Gina. Gina was born when JoJo was 6 years old, and she was very unique, I would say. I called her the frosting on the cake, because having had three children very close together, and here we hadn't had a baby in the family for 6 years, I understood every cry, I understood everything about her, because it was easy to do. And so I was writing a song one day, and I was having trouble with the second bar. I had never written music before. This was brand new. So I was changing her diaper, and she hummed the bar I was looking for to me. And I went, oh, well, maybe that's where music's coming from. Gina. So I ended up writing the whole song, and that was the beginning of me writing music. And another, she was just, well, what I have to say is the children said she had radar.
She did. Yes.
She definitely had was attuned to something beyond, and it was beautiful to behold. And she organized in a way that I had never seen a child do in our family. When she was 2 years old, she folded all her clothes and put them in her drawer. It was like, okay, well, we have a home full of people who fold clothes. So she may have learned it watching, but definitely she was an initiator of a lot of new things. And we've so enjoyed her. We enjoyed her when I was pregnant with her, and we enjoyed her even more when she came. And so she definitely decided every time we talked to her, if we called her by any other name than Gina, she would say, I am just Gina. Okay. And I finally went, is her soul rhythm that she's going to be a justice when she grows up? Well, she is a lawyer, so there's a possibility there.
There sure is, yes.
But she definitely kept us all on our toes. She was a joy, and the children enjoyed her, and she enjoyed them. And we all, it was easy. It was just really easy to be with each other. And that was the greatest gift of all.
It sure was, in our home and outside of our home.
Yeah,
it just was so natural.
Yeah.
So right now we are ready for a break, so we will see you on the other side of the break and continue in this communication with setting the tone, soul rhythm, and community. See you in a moment.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off, you're killing it in the mom game, but did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me, visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Welcome. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Spacious Unknowing Network, Communing with Your Soul. I'm JoJo Rose, here with
Julio Rose.
And we're going to continue our communication in regards to setting the tone, soul rhythm, and community.
So what I see, JoJo, is that we have a lot of community that was important to all of us. And school, where you and your brothers went, was a very important place for all of us. Gina and I used to come there for lunch with all of you because there was a cafeteria and such good food.
Yes.
And Gina loved to roam the halls after school. We went there after school often because we just did. We loved the teachers and we like to be there. And I would look for Gina, and she was running up and down the hallway naked. She had taken off all her clothes, which is common for a two-year-old, but none of my other children had ever done that, at least in a school. And so one of the teachers just loved her, so she took her in her office and, watched her dress, because Gina wouldn't let anybody dress her. She dressed herself. And she was very, very, didn't want anything frou-frou on her, nothing with any girly ruffles. She liked real plain, beautiful colors, but just simple outfits. So that was her style. And she was definitely accepted and loved in the school. Mm-hmm. And we loved going there. But then we also owned a trailer park. And at that time in Florida, that was an important thing for us to have, because we had a home that the people who had owned it previously had built. So it was a split level. We had a beautiful playroom downstairs for the children, and we had 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms. So it was plenty large enough for us. Huge kitchen, living room, dining room. And they loved to, their father bought a
pool table. Oh my goodness, it was so much fun. And I remember going to the pool table and my eyes were right at the level of the table. And the stick was really big, but I had a grand time. I loved it. We all, it's one of those things again where we just enjoyed each other's company.
Good memories.
Very good memories, yes.
And it was wonderful to have the playroom, because the children could go play, and that was their room. And they were always called to clean up after themselves, and they did. It was easy. They made that play too, which is what we, they learned when they were much younger. And so the trailer park, we had a large recreation hall. Mm-hmm. So when in the winter, we had not only trailers, but with families in it, but we large double wide trailers, but we had small trailers that people from the north would come and spend the winter, and we call them snowbirds. Mm-hmm. Well, they like to be, you know, cared for and treated. So we had potluck dinners at the recreation hall, and I would make the meal for our family and a little extra. Mm-hmm. So it was a, you know, for us, and we all went, but the children had, they grew up in Boston, so up till the time we moved to Florida, so they were used to big family and big feasts, and this was good for them because they were able to talk to all the older people, and so we were very intergenerational with our outreaches and our communities. So it was, well, you tell it.
Well, I think, you know, you setting the tone as the mother and the tone being love and really helping us to tap into and recognize our soul rhythm. I think an important aspect to that is having those larger experiences in life and being introduced to the arts, being introduced to different people from different walks of life, different ages, intergenerational. And I remember like not really feeling like anyone was strange. It was easy to treat everyone with that same love that I felt in my own home. It was natural. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was. You know, my brothers being in sports, we'd go to the ballpark, and there it was a huge field that had like three different ball fields on it. And we were always just in the midst of people and talking to them and enjoying each other's company. And really, when my brothers were playing a game, really like mm-hmm. being with them, being present with them in the game and enjoying it, just having fun. And
well, you met a lot of people your age.
I did. They were playing. Yeah, exactly. And we played
with them.
That's right.
And yeah, and Gina did too. So it was always enjoyable. What I want to say before I forget it is that the photo that I have with this show says her name is Lisa, because her name was Lisa. I'm struggling to call her JoJo as a child because her name was Lisa, but it was Lisa Joan. So hence JoJo for Joan. It became her nickname as an adult.
Yeah.
And we loved it. Everybody loves it. So we accepted it, and I'm calling her JoJo as a child just for the people who know her that way. And also, my middle name was Julie. So I took my middle name at some age.
At some point.
So my name is Julie. And so it's different from the photo, but the others are all accurate. Their names are accurate. So
yeah,
I did want to clear that up. Because I'm sure that question must arise for anyone noticing. My brother Larry put all the names on there. So anyway.
No, I think the other part of remembering that I really enjoy, well, I think as a child, it wasn't the easiest. But when we would go to the art shows.
Oh, yes.
And I realized that I have a love for art now. And that's integral to the love that I have for art now. Well, and appreciating it,
yeah.
And appreciating it in all its forms,
yeah.
Not just, you know, I used to think art was just paintings or drawings, and I've come to recognize that art is poetry, writing, mm-hmm. you know, interior design, all these different ways of expressing the creative side of us.
And her father, you know, Benny was an artist, mm-hmm. and he also was a sculptor. So we loved going to the art shows every now and then on Sunday, and the children would moan, you know, say, oh, I don't want to do that. And we'd say, okay, well, you come with us and enjoy the art show. Don't complain. And we're going to go to the playground afterwards for you. and you can play, and then we'll go to dinner as we always do on Sunday. So we'll have a beautiful day. Just join us. Mm-hmm. We'll join you. That's how it works. That's what love is. We don't always want to do what everyone else wants to do, but when we're given our time, we have to let others have their time as well. And they were very on it with us. So yes, they all love the arts because of that.
Yes.
But we didn't do that every Sunday. It was just when the art shows were in the Atlantic, and they were all over the sidewalks, mm-hmm. and it was just wonderful. And of course we had a lot of friends, so we'd meet up with them, and mm-hmm. it was a great community no matter where we went. Because of the space program, which is where we lived, my husband worked for many different companies that were connected with the space shots, which we watched from our front yard every time they went up. It was joyful and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so we had so many things, but all the people that lived in that area with us came away from their families in their state where they came from. So we in a lot of ways made friends and family over each other. And it was such a wonderful time to be there. And some money had been poured into the schools, so the schools had more better teachers, and it was all really well. And having the trailer park, we had cottages, and some of the people would come stay there because there was a shortage of housing because of the influx of people that worked at the space center at one time called Cape Canaveral, then Cape Kennedy. So I think it's back to Cape Canaveral. I'm not sure, but it was good time wherever we went, and the children did love, they didn't like the music concert we took them to on Sunday afternoon. They wanted that Matt and JoJo kept saying, can we go now? Can we go now? And Jay was enthralled. He was in heaven. And so from that experience, I got tickets for the concert series, and Jay and I went to those, except for the ballet one. JoJo came with me for that one and loved it.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
So what I feel really happened in our family, which can happen with anyone listening, is the importance of having a need and understanding that need is from your soul rhythm, and then joining yourself to the directive that would call for your will to join what it is that you're loving and feeling really connected to, so that there's a that's what makes us personal in our life. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, if we're just living from the ego, things kind of just happen. And sometimes they happen from guidance, but not all the time. So when Spacious Unknowing Network there's a knowing that arises that's connected with the soul rhythm. And there's also the need for the will to join, so that the person is personal with the presence. And there's a portal that opens to allow for a clearer understanding of the way to be in our lives, because we do need to understand our place in the world and how we place ourselves, and that we love what we do. We love what we do, and it loves us back. That's what happens. Because although my husband was an artist, he was an illustrator, a technical illustrator in his work. And that was what he did at the, and he would be given the part that would go in a rocket, and he would render it in 20 minutes. He just was a very gifted man. So he was very present with the children for their art as well.
Yeah, he was.
You remember sitting at the table and
doing art with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your brothers?
You know, I think what I would like to share with the listeners and the importance of all of this communication is that when a child is deeply loved and cared for the way that I was as a child and have continued to be in my life, that really does set a tone for a person in their life. And although I didn't necessarily care for the art shows, didn't care for the music when we went to it, those have become important aspects in my life. I don't play an instrument. I'd like to learn how to play the guitar. I love to sing. I love to listen to classical music, all different types of music, actually. And it really helps a child to expand and grow who they are, that can become incorporated in their soul rhythm. And so it is such a gift for any parents out there, any person.
Yeah, for you yourself.
Yes, yeah.
As well as children. As youth, teens. It's a very important way to live.
It is.
And even if you just have one person in your life that really has shown you care and noticed your gifts or talents and nurtured them, could be a teacher, could be a guardian of some kind. It really does. I've heard from so many people, them remembering a teacher who changed their lives because they did nurture what they saw in that person. And they were the only ones who ever saw it. And it was important to the child because they had been criticized up till then. And they were paying far more attention to that criticism than to their own talent. And one teacher could make a difference in their lives. And that happens, so often. And it's so valuable because we all need that. We all need encouragement. We all need love and care, deep care. And when we give it, we can't help but receive it. Someone who cannot love and doesn't know how to love has a hard time to receive love. And that's understandable. So each of us have a need to learn to love. And from that learning to love, we easily receive love. It's a easy segue, it just is. And I, you know, maybe the word doesn't even have to be used when that's happening because it's tangible and palpable and real. So, yeah.
And as we're talking, I'm recognizing that integral to the soul rhythm is love. Because as you're in that soul rhythm and that movement and that flow, mm-hmm. there's love that is being poured forth from you, mm-hmm. but you receive it. I mean, it comes right back to you through the action that you're in.
It's true.
With, be it one person, be it a whole group of people, it doesn't matter.
It's true.
Love is ever present. And we all need that today. We all need love. We need to give love and we need to receive love.
Yeah.
And it can be simple or it can be through an actual soul rhythm of work, something that's calling you to be active in your life.
That's when the fire rises and you can't help but do it.
Yes.
It is a need.
Yeah, it is.
That eternal flame is ever alive.
Sure is.
Yeah.
And community is vital to that. We all need a community as well. We can't be here by ourselves mm-hmm. and sustain a life that is full of joy and meaning.
And that's really when you all came home from wherever you had been, mm-hmm. School or the ball field or playing in the park where there was a ball field, that you and the boys and children from the park would play with you.
Yes.
That was always, when you came home, you had that same way to, we all listened to you. Our dinner time was your time.
Yeah.
Benny and I gave our whole dinner time to each of you so you could tell us about your day. And we loved listening to your day and what you had done and been in. And it was always fun. And we always ended up having a lot of joy from it while we were eating. So it was integral to our life that not only were you learning through being in community, but we all were in our own way and bringing it to each other. And then Benny and I had our time later in the evening where we sat and communicated with each other. So there was always that. And of course, there were date nights for he and I. So you loved having your babysitter come. Diane, she was young and she did games with you. Mm-hmm. And Benny and I loved to go out to eat. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go dancing, and it was keeping that love alive that's between a husband and wife.
Yes.
So that's a necessary
it is.
A part of life too, and we have to make sure that we make time for that, and that's, you know,
really honoring each other.
Yes, yes. And I would be asked by other women, you go to dinner with your husband alone? And I would say, yes. We love to go to dinner. It's so wonderful because it's just he and I, and we talk and laugh and have fun and, you know, keep everything alive in us with each other. And, oh, they thought that was weird. I said, well, what do? Oh, we go with a group of friends with their husbands too. Okay, well, that works. That works for you. This works for me. So, yeah.
It's the intimacy, right? It's the intimacy that you had individually in here. And then you had that with each other, and I know you enjoyed each other's company because I felt it as a child.
Intimacy is communication.
Yes.
So we communicated with you all, and we communicated well with each other. And that's the intimacy of our heart.
Yeah.
And when we share from that, we're making love with everything we do, mm-hmm. because it really is that. There's love in it, and it really makes a difference in everything that we do.
Yeah, it does.
And in everyone, mm-hmm. we had so many life experiences with people who didn't have any love in their life. And it was really to touch into that inside of them by just being with them and listening to them was so rich to all of us. Mm-hmm. And that's world changing.
It is life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that became integral to our family as well. Everything that you're saying, the deep care for not only each other, not only for ourselves, but for the people that we came in contact with every single day.
Yeah. That's true. You know, I'm thinking of the day that Matt never wore a sweater. He never wore a jacket. It didn't matter how cold it was the Florida morning, because there were some. And he was at the bus stop, and he came running up and into the house, went in his bedroom, got a sweater, brought it down, took it out and ran out the door and went down the hill. And I thought, I'm going to watch this because Matt never puts a sweater on. Let's see what happens. And I watched him give it to his little friend Dale, who lived in the park and didn't have any sweater. And Dale put it on, and I thought, oh, You know, you never know if your children learn things like that until you see it. And then you go, oh, thank you. It really works. And that afternoon when he came home, he said, Mom, can I give my sweater to Dale? I said, oh, yeah, sure. He said, good, because I already did. Of course. Yeah. And it's small, but it really does show that the love does move in the direction of care for other people. And that was important.
It is important. Yeah. Guess what?
Guess what?
It's time to...
No.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we just started.
Yeah, really. Here we are.
Here we are. So we would like to invite you listeners to please come to our website, spaciousunknowing.com. Check the complete website over. Sign in to receive Spacious Unknowing meditations. But also go to our contact page. We would love to hear from you. Leave us a message. Maybe something that has touched you from this show that, or you have an inquiry from something that has been said today.
Yeah.
We really would love to hear from you and we will respond to you.
Yes, we will.
On that note, thank you so much for being here with us. We look forward to seeing you next Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Hawaii time, and 10 p.m. Eastern time. And until then, aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose.
Join us again for life-affirming communication every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com so that you can bask in the rays of infinite love.
Access Soul Rhythm to tap into your real being for your heartbeat in the rhythm of your soul.
Feel it guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love. For more information about Julio
and JoJo Rose,
visit spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's spaciousunknowingnetwork.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.